because it's good to have embarrassing stories. I've got plenty of terribly embarrassing ones. This isn't like the top, but this is pretty bad. So soon after taking on the leadership of the church, I was going to a KDEF lunch, which is the churches together in Chelmsford, or a group of churches together in Chelmsford. I was going to a lunch at St. Michael's Church in Gallywood. Andy Griffiths, the reverend up there, who's a lovely, lovely guy, he'd invited us all. Loads of different vicars and pastors and ministers were going from across the churches. And I got there early. And he was like, "Hi, Pete, how you doing?" And I started chatting with him. It was really good. And he said, "Look at this over here." And he came and showed me. And there on the floor was the outfit of a pantomime donkey. And he said, "We've got this. We used it in a performance, but we haven't sent it back yet, and it's still there." He's like, "Why don't you put it on? You could put it on, and you can stand next to me, and we can welcome people as they arrive. Now, I said yes. For some reason, him suggesting that, it translated in my mind as, that sounds like a very good idea. So I put on the front end of a donkey. The next person who comes in gets invited to be my butt end, and they said, "No, thank you." And at this point, I started thinking, I don't blame you. I don't know why I've said yes, but here I stand. I'm half a donkey at the moment. Then another minister came in. He's like, "Yeah, I don't mind." So he put on the back end. So we had a little practice of sort of doing some dressage and things around the room. And then we went and stood by the door with Andy, and people would come in, and he'd say, "Hi, lovely to see you." They'd come down to me, and I'd say hello, and they'd look at me like, "Hi." It's like, oh, this is the worst idea. Why am I doing this? Why am I standing like this? Like, I didn't want to put on this donkey. I wanted, initially to put this donkey outfit on. It felt like a good idea. And then very quickly, it felt like a terrible idea. And I got to a point of never wanting to take it off. I didn't want them to know who this was. Who is this guy? I felt sorry for the man whose head was in my lower back for most of the time. He was probably thinking, why did I do this too? And pretty soon I was going to introduce myself and say, "Hi, Pete. Hi, I'm Pete. I'm the new pastor of CGC Chelmsford. Nice to see you." And everyone sort of looked at me a bit strangely. And it was very, very awkward. A tragically embarrassing story that is about a 6 on my scale of embarrassing stories. We've got too many children here for me to do number 9. anyway. Oh, look. That was us. Anyway, Christmas is nearly here, and I love it. Today in our house, the decorations will be going up. I know some of you have already done that, and some of you will be doing that soon, and some of you will leave that quite a while. And we can now officially play every day in the office Christmas music. Whether you're into the carols, who likes the classic carols? Give us a hey! See, that was more fun than hands, wasn't it? You're so well trained, you're still in school. Okay, so I'm going to say who likes carols, you go hey, if that's you, okay? Who likes carols, classic carols? Good. Who likes cheesy pop at Christmas? Exactly the same amount of people. Who likes something like Michael Bublé at Christmas? Bublé wins. Fantastic. So whatever your music of choice, it is time. So play it loudly, proudly. Open your windows, put the heating on in the car, and let people know it's Christmas. Many people up and down the country are going to be heading to school nativity scenes. Yes, look at those little dudes. And just in case you think, is that one Aria? No, just found a church online. That is not. We don't know any of those people. There are going to be mangers and angels. There's going to be baby Jesuses. There's going to be tea towels wrapped around people's heads. And, of course, there's going to be the little donkey, the one who has his own carol named after him. That beautiful little donkey there you can see on the left. How cute is that one? We don't sing the song Little Donkey, but it is a classic. Does everyone know it? Good. I have a claim to fame for this song, actually. When I was about 4 or 5 years old in kids' church, Sunday school, I was allowed to play the two-tone woodblock. Ours was sort of T-shaped. Do you remember that little dude? Anyone played a two-tone woodblock? It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Eddie. I'm glad you have. I found one, but it isn't T-shaped. Mildly disappointing, but not overwhelmingly so. So this is a two-tone woodblock. Played brilliantly with a microphone. Good. Okay, so I was given one of these in Sunday school because I was able to keep time. Generally, those who couldn't keep time were given bells and told to just go crazy at ring out those bells tonight. So if you had a bell and you thought you were special, you were. Okay, so I don't want to upset anybody. There's the carol. Here we go. Somebody was very early. That was a lovely start. Straight in. Little donkey, little donkey, on a donkey. Keep singing, keep singing. If you're new to church today, this isn't normal. Don't worry. But if you're enjoying it, that's fine. See how good I am with my two-tone woodblock? Oh, I don't even have to sing it. I think you're enjoying it too much. Get the bells out, kids, with no timing. Boom. Nah. We could do our own songs of praise. Oh, you are brilliant. Give yourselves a round of applause, because that was actually amazing. I'm trying to sort of labour the point of donkey. You'll find out why later on. It's a good song, isn't it? And here is the famous donkey of the Nativity story in a few different varieties, with a pregnant Mary on their way to Bethlehem. And I wanted to talk about this particular donkey and perhaps one other today. And so I looked. I know he's not in John, because the Gospel of John begins with "In the beginning was the Word," and misses out the Christmas story. And Mark doesn't do it either. He's straight into Jesus' ministry. So I looked in Matthew and Luke to find the donkey, and the donkey is not there. Oh, it never says Jesus. Never said that Mary got onto a donkey. Oh, no. Tragic. Tragic. But I thought, well, I'm going to research it anyway. Why do we all think she did? And why do these people think she did? And why is that something that's got into our understanding? And there actually were writings circulating in the early church that did mention Mary on a donkey. Those writings didn't make it into our Bible that we know, but there are lots of reliable sources around at the time that said she was on a donkey. And it seems historically reasonable that a working family would have a donkey. And this was a pregnant lady going on a long journey. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate that it was a long journey. Because it says this: "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David." That's the bit we may have read many times, but we don't really understand quite how far that was. There's another slide like it in the chapter before. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." So at the beginning of this gospel, we've got these two stories that don't really tell us any distance, and we assume it's not very far. So when she got ready and hurried to a town, that was 90 miles. So that's quite a distance to be going. And when Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, when they went and pregnant Mary went, they went 80 miles. Okay, so that is here to Cambridge and back. Or if you want to walk straight to Brighton from here, that's 80 miles if you walk to Brighton. And it was through difficult terrain. So it's reasonable to assume that there was a donkey involved to help get her from one side to the other. So the donkey was made ready and loaded up with provisions, and the journey to Bethlehem began. The donkey had a tough trip. Weighed down. Most of the images we see just have Mary on, but it's a long journey. It's going to take days. With a donkey, 4 to 7 days to get there. So they've got to have provisions. This donkey's pretty well laden over quite mountainous country. And here's the thing I want to tell you about this donkey, which is one of the sort of punchlines of the day. I bet he didn't know who he was carrying. I bet he was unaware. I'm going to always call the donkey he, because he, she gets a bit too difficult. Unaware that he was carrying the hope of the world on his back. Burdened, working hard, working flat out maybe, just needing a rest, but being completely unaware who he was carrying. The people of this time had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. There's 400 years between the last book of the Old Testament and the arrival of Jesus. Ever waited for a promise? Ever waited for something? You know it's coming. You know what? It's coming one day. how about if that promise you think is for you is for your great-grandchildren or your great-great-great-great-grandchildren? 400 years, generation after generation think, is it now, is it now, is it now? Probably beginning to lose hope. He came to a land where women had no voice, where the Romans occupied the Holy Land, where there was heavy taxation. It was a dark and difficult time. And yet the people of God held on to this from Isaiah 9 and other things. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. They knew this light was coming, but the timing must have been a complete mystery to them, as stories got handed down from generation to generation. But it was this donkey in this particular story who was carrying this light on his back. This light of the world that was going to shine for all was on the back of this donkey. The hope of the world was on his back. The joy of the world was on his back. Little donkey had a heavy day. Little donkey, carry Mary safely on her way. This donkey was just doing what he knew to do, just walking, but he had the Saviour of the world on his back. And that's the world that he came to. It was dark, it was oppressed, a time of great waiting, a great wandering. What about now? Essex in 2018. What are the people carrying around with them this Christmas? What I wanted to do is just make things slightly visual. People are wandering around at the moment. And many of us in this room will feel some of these things to a greater or lesser degree. And many of us won't feel any of them. That's okay. But what are the people of Essex carrying around with them at the moment? Should we have a quick look in my little box of parcels? Okay. Many people are walking around in hopelessness in 2018. Whether they know it or they don't know it. And that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes people feel really hopeless and sometimes people are unaware of their hopelessness. But God comes to bring hope this Christmas into hopeless situations. What else are people carrying around? They're carrying around despair. In all sorts of circumstances, situations, for relationships that have gone wrong, for jobs and promises that haven't come to pass, for just life in general that they're struggling with, there are many people who we are going to bump into this Christmas who are feeling hopeless and who are despairing. What else are people carrying around this Christmas? Loads of people are carrying around bitterness and unforgiveness. There, again, will be people in this room who are struggling with this one and finding it difficult to forgive. That's what we're going to bump into this Christmas. How are we going to help to be the solution to some of the things that people are carrying? People are carrying burdens. Some burdens we carry that we should be sharing the load with Jesus, and some we should give completely to him. But people are burdened, they're weighed down, they're feeling the difficulty this season. How are we going to be part of the solution to that? What else are people carrying? Some people carry around on their back a feeling of being completely worthless, that they don't have value, that everyone else is worth something but I'm not. And as a church, we do so much to try to put worth into people's lives. But again, this Christmas, over the next month, you are going to bump into people who feel worthless. How can you bring Jesus to that situation? Let's have a look at this one. Futility. It's all futile. It's pointless. What's the point? What's the point of life, of my job, of whatever I have? What is the point? I'm going to earn all this money. I'm going to get to the end of my life and maybe leave a bit for my kids. But what is the point of it all? People are walking around with these things and carrying them in this season. I do want to balance it a bit. So there'll be some people walking around absolutely loving life and thinking, I don't have a care in the world. That's fantastic. But just because people are loving life and think they don't need Jesus doesn't mean they don't need Jesus. Okay, but we will bump into people who are having the best time ever, who are on the top of the mountain this season. And we're also going to bump into people who are living in darkness. This Isaiah 9 passage speaks about Jesus coming and bringing light to a dark world. People are walking in darkness and we need to bring the light to them. I've got one more parcel in here. There are people who are struggling on stormy seas this season. where they seem to be, their life seems to be in turmoil. They're bounced around up and down on the seas of life, and they just wonder if the storms are never going to end. They're the people we're going to meet this Christmas. And also we're going to meet the brokenhearted. Those whose hearts are just aching and breaking and longing and the tears won't stop falling. We're going to meet those people this Christmas. That's what people are carrying around. If Jesus was to come into a manger now, into Essex, he would meet people carrying all of those things. But the Jesus that we know and love, when people are carrying hopelessness, Jesus brings hope. Hope in all its fullness. Despair he replaces with joy. Bitterness and unforgiveness, Jesus replaces with forgiveness. Unbearable burdens, he wants to help us carry some, and he wants to take some of them away from us. When we feel worthless and when people feel worthless, he wants to bring them value and worth. Where people feel it's all futile and pointless, Jesus brings a purpose to life. Where people are loving life, brilliant, but they still need Jesus. Where people are experiencing storms, Jesus can be the anchor in their lives. And when people are walking in darkness, Jesus brings light. It's great news, isn't it? The Christmas story is great news. The exchange and the transformation that Jesus brings and offers us this and every year is incredible. The donkey was unaware of what he was carrying. And now I want to put that question to you. Do you know what you're carrying? This is the whole point of my message. Do I know what I'm carrying? I have some awareness. Am I aware of what I'm carrying into every interaction and every situation this Christmas? Am I aware that I'm carrying Jesus? See, Jesus is not going to be born in a manger again. And people aren't waiting for that. They're waiting for some answers to life's questions. They're looking for hope, for joy, for worth, for value, to someone to walk alongside them, help with the load. They're looking for purpose, forgiveness, and anchor in their lives. Are you aware of what you're carrying into these situations this year? The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. That's us. Why do I say it's us? Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, that's good. We understand that one. We're happy with that one. Jesus is the light of the world. But he also says this to us. You are the light of the world. Now, that's an interesting one. How can both of those things be true? Jesus is the light of the world, and you, me, we are the light of the world. Says it in my Bible. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So how can both be true? Isn't it a contradiction that Jesus is the light of the world and I am the light of the world? Doesn't it sound like a crazy thing to say? I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So how can that actually be the case? How does it work? Let's look at Galatians. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay, that makes sense then. If Christ lives in me, then I can understand how I could be part of being the light of the world. I get it. 1 Corinthians 9. Have you forgotten, Pete and everybody else here, that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. Okay, so Christ lives in me. Holy Spirit lives in me. Okay, so Jesus isn't going to come again and bring light to the world through a manger, but I am the light of the world and you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world because Christ lives in us. Holy Spirit lives in us. Therefore, we need to take light to a dark world. We need to take hope to a hopeless world. We need to take joy to a despairing world. Do you see how it works? Do you see the part that we have to play this Christmas? Are you aware of what you're carrying? I'm not talking about paid Christians. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking to you deliberately, but I'm not going to look up and catch someone's eyes right now. But I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. Are you aware of what you're carrying? But I'm not that impressive, you may be crying on the inside. I'm not a Premier League Christian. I'm not a war horse fit for carrying the king. That's handy because the king is happy being carried by donkeys. Love that. I'm a donkey. I'm only going to use that translation of the word donkey. I am a donkey and you are all donkeys. Okay? So not only are you skylarks, but you're all donkeys and that's okay. You are all designed to carry the king this Christmas. And you don't need to be a war horse. Jesus didn't go on this incredible, brilliant armor sort of laden horse. He didn't have anything like that. He came on a donkey. He's happy to be carried into situations on the back of a donkey. And that's good because I dressed up as one. Sometimes I feel like one. And maybe you do too. That in all I am is a donkey in the world of love. From donkey through to stallion, I find myself in the donkey range. That's okay. Because Jesus is happy being carried by donkeys. And I'm increasingly convinced that the enemy can only win so many victories because the people of God are blissfully unaware of what they carry. I'm going to say that one again so it sinks in, okay? I'm increasingly convinced that the enemy can only win so many victories because the people of God are blissfully unaware of what they carry. Okay, let's briefly look at another donkey, okay? 33 years later, but only 5 miles down the road in Jerusalem. If you've got your Bibles, go to Mark 11, 1 to 11. I'm going to read it to you, but I haven't got it on the screen. Mark 11, 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and it will be sent back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some of the people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the roads, while others spread branches they'd cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Okay, this in some of our Bibles will have been headed the triumphal entry. In mine, it says Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. But here we find another donkey, a colt. So this is a young male donkey, never been ridden. And this is his story, and I just felt like putting it in through the eyes of the donkey. Ready for this? I'm not going to do an accent. There I was, minding my own business, eating a bit of grass, when suddenly two blokes turn up and they take me to Jerusalem. When I get there, everyone is so pleased to see me. They lay their coats on me, a chap gets on my back, and suddenly I am the most famous celebrity donkey the world has ever seen. You should have seen them cheering me. I was bowling my way in there in my best donkey swagger. Men were laying their coats in front of me and their tree branches just so that I didn't get my hooves dirty. They were all waving and cheering. Of course, I don't know what they were saying, but it was obvious that they loved me so much. I was smiling back and nodding as best I could as I walked into Jerusalem. When we got to the temple, the guy got off my back, gave my face a friendly rub and went inside. Then my owner came along, took hold of my rope and brought me back here. Seriously, this has been the most crazy day I've ever had. Another donkey who couldn't have known what he was carrying on his back. Another donkey carrying the Saviour of the world. The one who would soon be giving his life on a cross so that we might live. See, it's important as we start Advent and we begin telling the Christmas story that as we look at the beginning, we don't just focus on the baby, but we also consider both ends of his life. Because if we take to the world just the story of a baby in a manger, they're missing so much. And for so many people, they already know that story and they can't see the relevance. They need to know the Jesus on the cross who rose again to give them life. Another donkey carrying Jesus in there. two donkeys help us to consider both ends of his life. So if you think, if something can lock into your head, just think donkeys this Christmas. You are one, and they carry Jesus. And just a word of warning for any of us in any kind of leadership position. If we find ourselves with people cheering us, praising us, laying down their coats in front of us, it's probably best not to swagger too much, because they're probably not cheering us anyway. We need to remember who we're carrying and who they're cheering. I'm going to be such a blessing to kids' church today, because I didn't want to go too long knowing the children were in, so I clipped things down. But I just want to summarize by saying this. As we journey on into December this year, with nativities, lights, trees, presents, music, laughter, tears, with family, friends, colleagues, neighbours, strangers we bump into and have a chance conversation with, or the homeless man and woman on the street, whoever we're with, let's consider the donkey. It's not about our worthiness, our giftedness, or anything else. It's about him. It's about the one we carry. We are the light of the world this season. We, filled with Holy Spirit, carry Jesus into every situation. This Christmas, let's allow him to bring hope, joy, forgiveness, value, worth, purpose, an anchor, light, whatever it is, through us. Remember what you're carrying, you little donkeys. The end.